I'd like to have a stand for the Pledge of Allegiance. Mr. Rigi, would you do the honor, sir?
Our flag is bright in color, brilliant in courage, and firm in faith. To thee, that our sincere pledge, I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call vote, Mr. Chapman.
Director Robinson.
Yeah.
Mr. Feldkamp.
President Trevino.
Here. And the record will reflect that we have two directors that are not here yet.
I think Ryan was in the other room. I thought I saw him.
Is there somebody out in the...
We'll catch up.
Yeah. Adoption of the agenda.
Motion to approve.
Do I hear a second? Second, okay. Any discussion? None? Okay, so moved. Agenda's adopted. Public comment. Anyone wishing to discuss items should do so now. The Board of Directors may allow additional input during the meeting. A 3-minute time limit on remarks is requested. Yes, sir.
Not on the agenda or on the agenda?
Even not on the agenda, it looks like.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Yeah. Now, we also have public comment cards. We have a couple of cards.
The comment period has been merged for agenda items and non-agenda items.
Yes.
So for either subject, it would be appropriate at this time to discuss.
Okay. We have a request from Barbara Carrera from San Gabriel Valley Water Association to speak on item 8F. Okay.
Yes.
And we have a request from James Pryor or Pryor? San Gabriel
County
Water District. And you wanted to talk about the urgency of replacing Director Robinson on Water Master Board, sir? Okay. You want to address this now or you want to address this later?
Fine.
Okay.
My question is, there's only 8 meetings left. What is the urgency of replacing Director Robinson? I've been to the Water Master meeting in Vinton to do a fine job there. And for that matter, I'm replacing Director Chavez for what I call it.
Mm-hmm.
They seem to be doing a fine job. I was wondering. I have a question for you.
Sir?
Public comment period is not necessarily public dialogue. The directors have the option if they choose to respond, but mostly in public comment, you can bring up subjects, but not a dialogue.
So noted. Okay, then we'll wait for item 8F. Anybody else that wants to?
I don't have anything on the agenda, but I wanted to know when the second story 8,000 acre feet became available, and if it is sold available, reach the second story, how would the ministers notify that it was available to purchase?
Mr. Chapman?
Yeah, Mr. Shaw, the 8,000 acre feet is part of the order of upper district's remaining tier one allotment for calendar 2011. That was offered to Watermaster, and
when was it offered?
Ms. Williams and I had a conversation probably starting in January, February, and then two of the producers have asked to purchase that water.
Okay. If there is no other public comment, I'll close the public comment period until we get to the items that have been requested to be addressed by the public. And we'll move on with the agenda. Item number 5, minutes.
Motion to approve.
Do I hear a second? If not, I'll second that.
Okay. And Mr. Chairman?
Yes, sir.
On page number 11,773, about four paragraphs down, It says he stated that he believes the project cost for GRIP seems unreasonably high and discussed a significant lower cost by a local school for the construction. I didn't mention a local school. I mentioned Cal Poly University Pomona, which commences construction in a couple of weeks. And I just wish that to be more specific so people can know what I said. Also, on the previous page, we were talking about membrane bioreactors. I asked a question about the cost range, and I believe the staffs for MBR, the answer that came back was in the range. It was just a ballpark range of $1,500 to $2,500 per acre foot. That was edited out. I wished it to be included. And I wanted to point out that these minutes state Director Robinson requested to amend a statement he made. I'm not requesting to amend statements that I made. What I'm requesting is that the statements that I made be put in the minutes accurately. I mean, like the specific comment I made about Cal Poly University Pomona, I didn't say anything about a local school. I mean, there's hundreds of local schools around here, and the people that read that don't have a clue what I'm talking about. So with those changes, I'd vote to approve the minute.
Yes, sir. So noted, then. The general manager noted those changes, and we'll make those changes, sir.
They're not amendments to my statement. I just want my statements to be accurate.
Okay, very good. Anything else on the minutes? If now we'll entertain a motion to approve.
So moved.
Yeah.
All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Demands on the general fund account, Mr. Chapman?
Yeah, total demands for the month, $206,625.34. Of note here, we do have an invoice from Section Engineers, almost $97,000. The bulk of that you see is for the support, good support, I might add, that they are providing on the Reclaimed Water Direct Use Project. This was support largely previously provided by MWH, and that is directed by our Assistant General Manager, Mr. Renato Trejo. Also, a significant invoice there, almost $51,000 from Pacifica Services, Inc. for project management services. That's construction management inspection, package 1B, and you see some of the start of package 2 there. The package 2 costs really won't start to ramp up until April. We're delaying the start of that construction to coordinate traffic issues with the city of West Covina. And then we have San Gabriel Valley Water Company. That's our little over $8,600. Demand 16088, that's our operating cost for recycling. And our auditors, Vasquez and Company, which just presented to the administrative committee, and their report is before your board for approval. Those would be the only demands I would note for the board.
Okay, any questions on the general manager's comments?
Okay. Motion to approve.
So you're second?
Second.
All in favor, sir?
Yeah, I approve, except for demand number 16,091.
So noted, 16,091, Director Robinson does not approve. But other than that, the rest of them are okay, Director Robinson? Okay. There's a motion, a second. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Very good. So noted. Moving on to the financial statement. Item number 7, Mr. Chapman.
Yeah, President Torino, before your board, we have a summary financial statement, item 7A, extended for halfway through our fiscal year 2010-11, $12.2 million through December 31st for operating expenses, and that equates to just under 67% of the operating budget remaining. So that tells us there's a favorable trend there, just linearly going through the year. Of note, for operating expenses, most of that favorable variance is made up clearly by the water conservation program, which we have been purposefully holding back on in order to mitigate the necessary rate increase to a degree.
And also in the water quality supply program, a lot of the grant and the loan for Sunny Slope and South Pasadena, respectively, as well as the expenses for remodeling of the building have been not expended. And then on the capital side, much delayed but now picking up capital expenditures to the direct reuse program, $5.1 million, leaving 81% of the budget, $27 million remaining. We will not spend that $27 million fully this year, but Raimundo's and working together with Steps, and they're really starting to pick up the pace, and so that will work its way through.
Very good. Any questions for the general manager? I think this is good that we are seeing that we have some budget remaining, and there's substantial percentage of some budget remaining. Again, we're looking at as much as we can to cut costs and look at how we spend our money. So if there are no questions for the general manager, then it's receive and file. Okay. Very good. Moving on to the action items. Action item number 8A, the report and discussion regarding the audited financial statement, single audit.
Mr. President, if I may, can I take you back to item 7B, which is separate in your agenda, quarterly report regarding district investments.
Okay.
Again, a matter to receive and file. It's just as part of our investment policy. Every quarter there's a report presented by the Board Secretary Chavez on the district's investments.
Okay. Any questions on the receiving file for the quarterly report on district investments? Okay. Seeing none, moving forward now to action items, starting with action item 8A. So it's a presentation made by Mr. Vasquez and Company regarding the financial statement and single audit for fiscal year ended June 30th. It was made to the admin committee. And I'll defer over to Gentleman Edward Chapman, who will introduce. Do we have the report from the auditor? We've already covered that. So.
Yeah, I would do, respectfully defer to the chair of the admin committee in less strict arise. She'd like to me to just give a brief report. And if we have any questions, our auditors are here with us today to, as well as Evelyn, to help with that.
Thank you, Sharon. Mr. Vasquez and his team and Evelyn did a fantastic job of presenting their audit. And based on their reports, they gave us basically a clean bill with a couple of recommendations. For instance, required submission of detailed receipts to support changes to district charges to the district credit card, and also that computer passwords be changed every 6 months to ensure security. Otherwise, based on the report, a good audit.
Thank you. Any other director has any comments on this item?
Why is the password changes necessary? Why is security necessary in that area?
Generally, as a matter of practice, auditors recommend that an agency has either a random or a routinely set period when passwords are changed. And we don't have a policy that directs that currently.
Passwords for what type of information? That protects what type of information?
Just the login passwords to the district's server and computer network. Just a standard management control best practice.
Perhaps you want to add something to that?
Sure.
Mr. Vasquez?
Obviously, there are some confidential information for us to know. But there are customary for organizations to change their password every 6 months. In fact, audit is always good. Just for security purposes, you just never know. It doesn't cost any money, but it certainly does with additional protection and confidentiality of information.
Okay.
Well, the downside of that is we also inconvenience ourselves, and it's a public agency, and it seems like confidential information ought to be in a separate pot someplace else that isn't in a either a non a protected password area or a protected password area. It seems like we're just inconveniencing ourselves and private information shouldn't be in the database. It should be in some other database.
Well, so noted. Okay. Thank you, Mr. Vasquez. So here, a motion to accept the recommendation of the auditor.
Second.
Okay. Any other discussion? All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Very good. Record reflects 4-0. Item 8B, presentation discussion regarding proposed board and committee meeting schedules, conduct upper district business. This was also discussed at the admin committee. And Mr. Chair of the admin, do you want to, anything you want to add to this?
It was brought to the committee that board should consider, that committee should consider possibly making only one board meeting, a voting board meeting, the second one possibly set for workshops. There's a disagreement on what time should be set for each of the meetings. If 6:30 should be for the first one and make 8 a.m. for the second one. So on that, that was brought to the board for discussion and consideration for final action.
We did have quite a bit of discussion on that. So anybody here on the board wants to discuss with that or to feel comfortable with the recommendations of the committee?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. I think, first of all, I'd like to say I'm glad we're doing this. I think it brings us into uniform with other water boards and college boards, which meet once a month. I'm very happy that the EAN meeting, but I'm not sure what that's good.
Okay. All right. Well, we're trying to, again, accommodate people who are either work or have to come to meetings and cannot get here by 5:30. So it's, it's a hard balance.
That's the first, we have that the first meeting of the month or second?
This meeting would now be an evening meeting at 6:30 p.m. And then the second meeting, which would be held for policy discussions, workshop type material, would be a morning meeting.
I have no preference. I prefer morning, but that's fine.
What about the committee meetings? Are we all comfortable with committee meetings being on set dates? I think that would make it better for the people that want to come to our committee meetings so they know exactly what days our committees and what times are held, and there isn't any confusion about meeting days and times. It just makes it better for the public to be able to access our meetings. And again, it goes along with the transparency issues that we talked about. Mr. Robinson, you have something to say?
Very unhappy with this. Uniformity is an argument that carries no weight with me just because everybody's doing it. If we uniformly line up to pursue a bad standard, that carries no weight with me. I believe the policy meetings should be accessible to the voters and the ratepayers, the people that pay all the bills. The policy meeting, the way I read this paperwork, the policy meeting is at 8 o'clock in the morning. Everybody that works for a living. Don't I have the floor now?
He's trying to correct
you. Well, he's trying to correct you.
Okay.
That's not the case, Director.
That's actually making the policy meeting at 6:30 to have accessibility.
Well, if the policy meeting is at 6:30, that's better. I recommend that the policy meeting be at 6:30, and then if we and the first meeting of the month, the one that's at this meeting at this time, if we need workshops or the other format, we can do that at 8 o'clock.
As needed, right?
So if the board is agreeable to that, then let's. Go with that. But the other criticism I have is concentrating all of our policy issues in a once-a-month period, that slows down our policy making 100%. And instead of having to policy making is is, as it stands, is as slow as molasses in the wintertime. And if we're going to conserve policy decisions to once a month, I believe that cuts our productivity in half. And in response to cutting our productivity in half, I would make a substitute motion that we also cut our meeting stipends in half to $100 a meeting, and I so move.
Sir. Well, as to the motion, if there's no second.
There's no second, sir.
For clarification's sake, and for the public's sake perhaps as well, what is being considered right now coming out of the committee meeting is that the first meeting of the month will be the policy meeting, the primary policy meeting, we should call it, and that will be at 6:30 in the evening. The second meeting will be on the third Tuesday of the month, and that is a secondary policy meeting and also workshop meeting and sundry items. That would be at 8 a.m. You then have your specific committee meetings, which have been determined to meet the most regularly, and those would be the Water Policy and the Administrative Committee. The Water Policy Committee meeting would be every fourth Wednesday at 5:30 p.m., and the Administrative meeting would be on the fourth Thursday at 5:30. All other committee meetings would be held on the third Thursday of each month. If this is consistent with the direction of the board, then I would ask that the motion include directing staff to prepare a resolution indicating these changes and present it back for signature to the chairperson. Also for an indication, if you vote today, it would be effective in 30 days, which would be in the beginning of April, first meeting in April.
Director Fowler, you have a comment, sir?
No.
Do I hear a motion to approve as and order the board to have the board prepare a resolution? Is there a motion?
Based upon what I indicated.
Yeah, based upon what you just said. Is there any discussion on this motion?
Yeah. Well, I'm just not eager to adopt, just to imitate a uniformly bad practice just because everybody's doing it. That's not an argument as far as I'm concerned.
Roll call vote, Mr. Chapman.
Director Robinson.
Yes. Okay. So motion has passed. Moving on to item 8C, presentation and discussion regarding Fabian Pharmaceutical monitoring services for Upper District Industry Water Recycling Project. Mr. Chapman, why don't you take that?
Yeah, before you is item 8C, which is the request to approve a professional services contract in a not to exceed amount of $85,488. An estimated cost for this is about $47,000. Fabian Pharmaceutical monitoring services are required under the ARRA grant funding that we received from the U.S. Bureau of Reclamation. And in the event that a major find is excavated as we're going up Azusa and across mine on Package 2, then those costs may go up as high as $85,488. By contracting directly, we are avoiding any markup, and we solicited three bids from Paleo, Bonterra Consulting, and LSA, and Paleo was the lowest responsive bidder.
And this is a not-to-exceed contract, so it could go from as low as 47 to as high as 85, but it's a not-to-exceed. So
so moved.
Second.
Okay. Any discussion? If none, all in favor?
Aye.
Very good. All right, moving on to item 8D, presentation and discussion regarding solicitation for general counsel services. And there's a staff recommendation that's enclosed. Mr. Chapman, who's the chair of legal and communications?
Director Fellow.
Director Fellow, I'm sorry. Director Fellow?
This was discussed at our meeting last week to help us in replacing Mr. Mosley, who's going to retire on June 30th, to this year, and to retain the council services for upper district, we're asking that the proposals be ranked and scored based on the following criteria, which you have in front of you, and we hope this meets the needs of the board.
Any discussion?
Well, I would just hope that that we pursue the attorney industry and try to attract as many applicants from the defense bar as the plaintiff bar to get some firms work one side of the industry and they don't work the other side of the industry when they represent government agencies, and I would wish we would tailor our search to attract both sides of the bar.
So noted. Any other discussion? There'll be a transition period between now and June when Mr. Mosley leaves, and we're trying to get ahead of it and make sure that we have somebody in place prior to his leaving. And I think this is something that that we need to start moving on.
I'll make a motion to approve the recommendation.
Second. Any other discussion? No other discussion. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
This is a sad vote for me. I'm going to abstain.
I'm sorry? You're going to abstain?
Yeah, I'm going to abstain.
Okay. Three ayes, one abstention. Okay, moving on to item E, presentation discussion regarding policy review and proposed policies. This is an information item, and basically we discussed this in water policy or admin?
Admin.
Admin. Mr. Chairman.
Our general manager brought to us basically a review and basically putting together a new policy manual for the district, the directors, and basically something to have on hand. And additionally added some specific areas that had been lacking before, such as, example, an ethics policy, which I think is very important to have established rules to abide by and follow in different areas. And, you know, it presents a great opportunity to be able to review our policy and in some areas possibly update or, you know, review it and change things. So I think this is a great opportunity for Upper District, and as we discussed, we're going to have the consultant meet with each director to be able to go over our specific areas that we have interest or concerns with to be able to do input, and then in April have a workshop, right?
Workshop, bring all that material together and see where we're at.
Yeah. Okay.
So staff will be arranging those meetings, and then we'll circulate another draft once we've gotten your input.
Okay. Very good.
Just like I mentioned, we're very happy we have this in place, and I've still got to go through and read most of it, but I'm very happy with the ethics policy. I know that's one item you ran on, and I'm glad you are here to influence us in including that. Thank you.
Yeah, one of the items that I'm very concerned about, which I'll bring up to the consultant, is board protocol, and that we follow a protocol and just on the dais here and conduct ourselves in a manner that that really is in keeping with representing 1.2 million people and representing our constituents in an honorable and manner. So I think this is great stuff, and it's good and definitely needed. We haven't had it, especially the ethics parts, and especially issues of conduct on this board and issues of just simple common courtesy between board members. So this is good stuff. I'm excited. So look forward to hearing what the consultant has to say and look forward to talking with her. Yes, sir.
Well, I agree with what you just said, that providing a booklet of rules, and I noticed it's hard to provide comments because the pages aren't even numbered yet. So, if we just could add page numbers to the pages so people could easily comment, that would be fine. I'd like to point out that this agency functioned very well for 42 of its 52 years with no policies such as this. I mean, we all have to obey state and federal law, and just because there's rules, disagreement doesn't imply discourtesy, and this board functioned for many years with no rules at all, and I never noticed any habitual discourtesy among any of the people that have sat in these chairs. And providing the 25 pages of rules won't change that behavior, and I think it unnecessarily complicates our lives. But I recommend that we do a minimalist approach. The U.S. Constitution says a lot, and it says it in a couple of pages. If some of our policies are founded in state and federal law, I think we should just note the state and federal law and not get carried away with developing 200 or 300 pages of rules. So my approach would be a minimalist approach, regulations that the water district wants to establish on their own, rules that we feel are important enough to state in writing, I think we should do that. But I would also like to point out that having informal, unwritten rules might be a good thing, because this puts us on notice if we hobble ourselves with 300 pages of rules, and somebody from the public comes in someday and says, you're not following your rules, we could be successfully sued. If your rules are informal, and things like ethics, I think, comes from within, I'd rather self-regulate than informally rather than put everything in black and white. But if you want to open the district to many lawsuits and more future controversy than we've had in the past, then I guess we're doing the right thing.
So noted, Director Robinson. Well, Director Robinson alluded to the, I can't let this go, to the Constitution. Constitution has articles of Bill of Rights, amendments. So for the document itself is probably hundreds of pages of different amendments and Bill of Rights. So it's just it's been tweaked and amended.
No, the Bill of Rights is brief. There's 28. They're brief, and the Constitution is brief.
Yeah. But there's been
amendments.
Look
at what we got so far in this. I mean, The pages are unnumbered, and we've got hundreds of pages of verbiage so far.
Well,
wonderful.
We'll pursue this, you'll have time to have input to it. So.
Yeah, and please put page numbers on there, and maybe we could get our existing policy so we can compare the new with the old. That might be a good idea.
Just for point of reference, this is an informational at this stage. It's to come back at a later date, I believe in April, in which to review it. Also from an informational sake, much of that has incorporated a series of resolutions that are currently in place. And one of the purposes of this policy is to sort of centralize and put much of the quilt work like effort that's gone into the different resolutions into one common reference authority that'll make it more readable. So in that sense, it will come back in a more formatted form in the future.
Yeah, I do have a question regarding that. It looks to me, I mean, I've never seen this format map that was presented in it. I was just wondering where this came from. I mean, was this a plagiarism is the name of the law. A lawyer doesn't paraphrase the law. You present it, comma, and every period. I mean, plagiarism is the name of the game as far as following the law. But I was just wondering, this format and these policies. That did we get this from some particular agency or a couple agency, or
is, Mr.
where did this come from?
It's coming from a couple of different agencies. Principally, it's coming from this agency. Your question about the format is that most agencies today use that type of a format where one or two pages is dedicated to a particular policy. That policy has a number. It might be policy 2.1 as an example. And that's why there are no subsequent page numbers. We follow it by going to the table of contents, looking up the reference policy, and then going
to... Well, during the comment period, having page numbers makes it easier.
What we've done, working with our consultant, Sherry Robo, who has a lot of experience in this area, is with regard to the new proposed policies, called through many of the other member agencies, water masters, et cetera, to come up with what we thought would be a good starting point for your board to have a discussion around. Mm-hmm. And those new policies were ethics, the general manager, duties and responsibilities, and purchasing in three areas: professional services, construction, and material and supplies.
Well, I mean, Clark, does the government code have standards regarding purchasing for public agencies and stuff like that, that we could refer to law, and then if we wish to tailor it in a certain way for our own purposes?
Let me answer it in a certain way. If the board adopts the policy and procedures, that doesn't mean that that is a totally inclusive document. There will still be some need for adopting certain other things. Now, on the purchasing policy, the state code provides that for construction projects, there can be an expedited selection process, providing the governing board maintains a certain policy under 25, under 75, under 100 approved lists of construction people, that sort of thing. Upper District currently doesn't have that, so the suggestion is that that should be incorporated as part of the policy. So, yes, there are some policies that are floating around that are directed by the government, but some of them need fine-tuning. The policy that you'll have in front of you says that the board shall determine the nature and time of board meetings, but still a resolution has to be prepared to fine-tune that as to what is the time and date. So this is a document that incorporates some specific items from government, could be considered superfluous in that sense, or overlapping. It includes some things that gives direction to policy. It's an overall good document. It's good to have an overall single document that helps focus everything into one spot, whether or not it just says in some ways compliance with the state and local law or otherwise. So it's a good direction. It's heading in the right direction.
All right, moving on to item G. Presentation, discussion.
Yes.
Item F. I'm sorry. Item F. And we've got presentation, discussion regarding the GRIP budget, birth plan, and upper district contribution. We also have a request from Ms. Barbara Carrera to address the issue. So we will hear from you.
Authority and instead pursue an integrated resources plan. The staff report also indicates that stormwater San Diego Valley Water Association Board of Directors feels strongly that a continued investment in the recycled water recharge program is not only worthwhile, but is critical to the basin's future water supply reliability. Capture of excess storm runoff is desirable, but the quantity of storm water that is not already captured and spread is often minimal and can vary highly from year to year. Conservation efforts have been implemented throughout the San Diego Valley over the past several years with great success, and it is impractical to assume that a significant amount of new conservation can occur without sweeping changes in the water use throughout California. Furthermore, neither of these water supply components can be considered supplemental water, which is what must be delivered as replacement water. Over the past few years, it has become apparent that imported water is no longer a reliable source of supplemental water, and recycled water is the only truly reliable supplemental water supply that can be dedicated to the San Diego Valley. The San Diego Valley Water Association Board of Directors strongly supports the recycled water recharge project for the basin and urges Upper District to aggressively pursue such a project in a cost-effective and expedited manner. Should Upper District choose not to continue its participation in the GRIP JP, A, we urge you to nevertheless commit to pursuing the use of advanced treatment recycled water for groundwater recharge. San Diego Valley Water Association representatives are happy to support those efforts in any way we can. Thank you.
Okay. Trapper?
That's a very helpful letter. I appreciate the association's input on the recommended report.
We're going to address Ms. Carrera's concerns. It'll be part of our report that we'll make now, Mr. Chapman will make right now, and it will address some of the concerns that Ms. Carrera brought up. So we'll go right into the report. Director Brown, sir.
Well, first of all, I want to thank everybody for their attendance this morning. This is the biggest crowd I've seen so far. I appreciate the attendance by the producers and the Water Association, our current partners in the JPA, LA County Sanitation, of course, Water Replenishment District, as well as members of the public. Big issue before the board today and a big recommendation that I had to grapple with. What we will be doing from this point forward, regardless of how the board elects to chart the course here, is engaging with the water community here in the San Diego Valley in this integrated resources plan. That is going to do several things for us. Most importantly, it is going to get us all on the same page about how best to ensure the Valley's water supply reliability. I was remiss, frankly, in my staff report making this recommendation without more strongly emphasizing that Upper District is going to continue to aggressively pursue water recycling. We're not walking away from water recycling if the board elects to walk away from the JPA per this action. We're just walking away from a particular JPA. It very well may come out of the Integrated Resources Plan that some level of advanced treatment for groundwater recharge is appropriate, efficient, economical, relatively low-risk investment if structured properly. Balanced with some stormwater capture, I do understand that that's variable and an awful lot has already been done. And balanced with a very good understanding of what the future overlying demands of the basin may range, look like, as well as the conservation potential. One of the things that I am most leery of is very quickly rushing into a major capital project of $250 million, GRIP, without a sound financing plan that the producers strongly support and have signed on to in place, and without a common understanding of what those future overlying demands look like and what that conservation potential may be. Although crude analysis, which I am known for, the water use efficiency point that I make here in the staff report is under SBS 7, if just half of the conservation that is mandated under SBS 7 is achieved, that's over 18,000 acre feet, which will reduce that overlying demand on the basin, which will necessarily reduce the reliance on imported water supply and leave, to a degree, that much more water available in the lease market as well. So it's going to be a balance. Not all of that water will be leased within the basin, but we need to study those efforts, study those issues very carefully together and reach a consensus through that stakeholder-driven IRP over the next 6 to 9 months. Projects will then fall out of that IRP. Some may be advanced treatment, groundwater recharge. Some may be recycling, working with Department of Public Works. Some may be additional investments in conservation, perhaps a water transfer, and a reasonable level of reliance on the imported water system at an appropriate rate. That is the outcome I envision from this exercise. Moving forward with GRIP now today, I feel is unfair to our partners, County Sanitation and WRD. They have been at this for 2 years now, trying to move this along, and we will be continually questioning and slowing down that process as they work to move that forward. So we'll continue to work with County Sanitation and WRD, but my recommendation is not in the form of the current JPA.
Thank you, Mr. Chapman. One of the comments I want to make is we're not walking away from recycled water by no means. And all we're doing is really trying to increase our portfolio of options and look at other options that we might need to pursue along with recycled water. What I'm going to do at this time is open it up for public comments for we have quite a few people here. I don't know how many people want to talk about this particular item other than Ms. Carrera, but is there anybody else that wants to talk about this? First, let me say, Director, is anybody here that wants to make a comment on the General Manager's comments?
To me, the GRIP project is a great project. The concept of using recycled water to replenish our basement. And I just want to emphasize that although we walk away from this JPA, that it becomes a project that Upper District does focus on and does look into seriously to consider as part of our integrated resource. I know, Shane, you discussed immediately looking into an alternative, something a group project that Upper District can do, possibly maybe some new partnerships down the line, but I wanted to be a focus that we do continue to look at this concept and take some action on it.
Okay. Yes, sir.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. For a long time, I've had some problems with the cost of this project. But I think one time we were looking at $1 billion at the end of this project. And I'm glad that's not the case. I would like us, we are committed to recycled water and advanced treatment here. I would like us to pursue, we talked about this, maybe perhaps with the Metropolitan Water District, plans in this area. I'm also concerned that Congresswoman Grace Napolitano contacted me last week, and we didn't get a chance to talk, but you did talk to her in Washington. And my feeling is she's very leery about this project. Am I right?
She did express some concern, yes.
And that bothers me also, and I'd like to talk to her in greater depth. But I think she's very concerned about it moving ahead at this point. Thank you.
Director Robinson, sir?
And I have mixed feelings about this association letter. Financing depends a lot, and the rates achieved for loans depends on how an agency is viewed by the banking industry. And the way I see this set up now, we've got governance problems that are terribly hobbling the situation. And I'd like the GRIP project to be put on the back burner, but I think we're duty bound to build on the work that's already been done to try to solve the governance problems. And I wouldn't mind funding preliminary engineering design as well. Those are subjects that have to be dealt with, and we could put the GRIP project on the back burner. I mean, it's going to be built eventually, but if we could put GRIP on the back burner for 2 to 6 years while we continue to try to gain a better SOPA is a model that's been used on the Santa Ana River, and their financing and their projects they attract grants and they attract state and local funding, and that's because they've devised such a fine agency structure that is respected by the banking industry. We haven't come close to doing that yet, and until we improve our situation, I'm in favor of putting it on the back burner and continuing working on those subjects I mentioned, and then a future board someday in 2 or 6 years, whatever, when the fiscal situation improves on the state level and the federal level, maybe we'll look good to those branches of government. We'll also look good to the banking industry, and then we could put this project in a way that doesn't turn out to be gold-plated. But, I support a GRIP, and eventually it'll be built, but we're just not equipped to do it right now. That's why I can't support this association letter. It kind of urges us to do right now, which we're not ready to go there yet. And I think we should pursue conservation has been successful locally, but if you look at the per capita consumption in Bradbury, I know it's a small community, but it's not good. And stormwater programs, if we can get some gravel companies start mining in the San Gabriel Rio Hondo River and reoperate those dams and add conservation to the mission for the Army Corps of Engineers, I think we can make progress and put GRIP off till a later date.
I also see us looking at a SOPA-like agency for the San Gabriel Valley. I think it makes sense in Washington. They want to see a regional approach to water. And I think that's one of the things that we can be looking at as part of our portfolio, is working with other member agencies or other agencies like the San Gabriel Valley District, Three Valleys, and other districts to look at a regional approach to water in the San Gabriel Valley that will give us some clout, not only at the Metropolitan Water District because of our directors, but also some clout up in Washington in terms of being able to leverage money for programs and projects here in the San Gabriel Valley. SOPA has been very successful. They still retain their autonomy. The agencies that are involved in SOPA retain their autonomy, but yet at the same time, they can speak with the United Voice up in Sacramento and in Washington and at the Metropolitan Water District for limited resources, and it carries a lot of weight. So I think that's one of the things we probably will be looking at. And I concur with Director Robinson that that's something that we ought to try to emulate here in the San Gabriel Valley. As I said, I will open it up for comments because I know this is an item that is near and dear to a lot of folks here in the audience. So, Mr. Rigi.
Thank you, Mr. President. Dan Rigi, Water Resources Manager, San Gabriel Valley Water. With all due respect to Director Robinson,